Network, broadcasting from the Lucas Oil Studios.
Driven by General Tire.
It's Speed Freaks. Motorsports Radio Redefined with Kenny Sargent.
We love to party.
Crash Gladys.
What are we doing for the bachelorette party?
And Statman.
I am serious.
Here's the Freaks.
Freak Nation, it's the second hour as we celebrate our 18 years of existence. June 25th, 2000 is when we started. We started on one station, initially with four mics. There was time to time when there was just one mic, yeah, Crasher.
Not every Sunday did we have four mics. I remember interviewing NHRA top fueler Larry Dixon in a tiny closet that literally had one mic, and all of us hustled around it, and we kept accidentally dropping him with our phone connection. Oh, he was not happy. But that's just how things have changed in 18 years.
Do I also remember, was that the same show that we had Matt Kenseth? I remember having Matt Kenseth, and we were all gathered around one mic because
it must have been.
Because the studio in Los Angeles was failing.
God. They also failed to empty the trash for a couple. Remember we had lunch one Sunday night, and the following Sunday night, that all of that lunch was in the same trash basket a week later.
Chicken wings.
Oh, yeah.
Chicken wings and ribs. We had a great sponsor.
Oh, it makes me hurt.
Coming up this hour, the late Dan Weldon, Indy 500 winner. He wins the Indy 500, so what does he do for the next race? He goes back up in the booth on the Versus Network.
Remember that? That's even changed.
And does color for the IndyCar race at Texas Motor Speedway. He joins us this hour. In one segment, we're going to have Jesse James and Evel Knievel. I think you see the comparisons there. And George Thorogood into Mario. That's
Mario
right.
Mario Andretti.
Yeah, and it's one of the... It might be the first time we've had Mario. It might be.
What?
Yeah, I believe it might have been 2003.
Oh, God.
And Crasher.
So again, we're probably stepping all over each other.
Your fandom for Mario is kind of obnoxious.
It's pretty annoying,
isn't
it?
Yeah, it's great. It's,
no, don't say great. It's ridiculous.
So, yeah, man, a great second hour coming up. Did you miss last hour? Danica Patrick, Kenny Wallace, John Force. Yeah, that was all last hour of interviews ranging from 2003 to 2013. We have them up on our website at speedfreaks.tv. Again, celebrating 18 years of Speed Freaks, and we talk about so many things that have come and gone. The song that kicks off the second hour of Speed Freaks, for the most part, is done by a group called Betty Blowtorch. They reunited recently. I say recently, in the last two or three years. But they broke up after their lead singer, Bianca Beehole, when she died in a car accident. And we actually were on stage prior to... It had to be within the first year of Speed Freaks when Betty Blowtorch came through Los Angeles, Statman. And didn't all of us get on stage and bring Betty Blowtorch out on stage on in a concert venue off Sunset?
Yeah, it was off of Wilshire. It was, what was the name of that venue that was right down the street from the studios?
Right.
And we introduced them and sat on the edge of the stage while they did their set. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Betty Blowtorch. Wow.
While wearing our yellow, black, and white leather Speed Freaks jackets that our original investor very kindly made for us.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, remember that day he sent them to us by surprise? I mean, these are like $2,000-$3,000 leather jackets.
Yes.
And they show up in the mail, and it's like, huh? What? I didn't order this. And all of a sudden, it's like, wow, this is mine.
Those jackets were at almost every Supercross race for the next, 8 years? And we had our caddy, and we brought Ricky Carmichael out into the middle of the venue at Anaheim Stadium.
Don't mention that Supercross race when we spend 20 minutes talking about how the guy's going to ask Kenny a question. And Kenny was driving the car, and I was sitting in the back. Oh, yeah, I got the time off. And next thing I know, I hear Statman, and the mic is in my face. I don't know what he's asked me. I'm staring at the scoreboard and 50,000 people screaming, and I'm trying to be, coherent. I don't have to this moment. I don't have any idea what I said or if it made sense. And then he, you know, I tried to give it back to him, and then he asked me another question. You know, we spent 20 minutes ignoring me, and all of a sudden, I'm the topic of conversation.
I love those things. I love stories like that.
Freak Nation, coming up next. It's a combo. George Thorogood joined us in the studio, and then we're going to segue into Mario Andretti. Also coming up, Jesse James, Evel Knievel, and the late Dan Weldon. We celebrate 18 years of the Freaks. Going to reset right now with some affiliates.
Speed Freaks, we promise to suck less. Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
The Freaks.
Welcoming in another set of affiliates here with Speed Freaks on a Sunday night. Thank you guys for hanging out with us for 18 freaking years. That's right, 18 years of Speed Freaks. Coming up this hour, Jesse James, Evel Knievel, George Thorogood, Mario Andretti, and the late and very great Dan Weldon here in the Freak Nation Crasher.
Huge. And that's following up last hour with, what, Danica Patrick?
John Force. Jeez. Kenny Wallace. Yeah, man. You go back and look at some of the things that have come and gone. I say things that have come and gone. We talked about electronics last hour. What about people that have come and gone? Some very good people in a number of motorsports series. We've got one of them coming up this hour in Dan Weldon. Yeah, and another one that, regardless of what you think of this gentleman, Evel Knievel, he was a freaking icon. And he called into our show one night, Statman.
Yeah, he called in. And I don't know if we can go a different place, but remember the night Dan Gurney called in unannounced? And it's just people would just drop in like, hey, that's the kind of response that we had. Daryl Russell. I still look for things in my computer and come across a picture of Daryl Russell and I exchanging phone numbers in the top end at Pomona. And I have to stop and look at that. I was just building a relationship with him when he was gone.
Yeah, the one that still resonates with me is multi-time rally champion Colin McRae. And that was literally just months after we had partied with him in Barcelona for New Year's. And wow, I'm just glad, so fortunate that Statman, you stopped him by the elevator, the base of the elevator in our hotel in Barcelona, and then introduced us all, and I'm so thankful for that because we only knew him for a little bit, but at least we knew him, and he was a great dude.
Freak Nation, again, coming up, George Thorogood and Mario Andretti, a little bit of combo for you in the next segment. George Thorogood and I go back since the mid-90s, and there's a great story that he tells about us going to the Los Angeles Dodgers game in this interview, and Crasher with Mario Andretti.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's legendous.
No.
It is.
Oh,
it is legendous.
I'm sorry. I'm apologizing now for what happened.
Greatness. So, yeah, man, enjoy the ride through these 18 years of Speed Freaks. Evel Knievel, Jesse James, George Thorogood, Mario Andretti, and Dan Weldon all coming up.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
The Extreme Contact Sport is Continental Tire's newest ultra-high performance tire. Tested to the limits by championship-winning race car drivers, the Extreme Contact Sport satisfies the most demanding driver. This dynamic street tire was built for car enthusiasts and engineered for extreme grip in dry and wet conditions. Whether it's a Sunday drive on the open road or you need to get to and from work, this tire is for what you do. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. That's ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, proud partner with the Freaks.
Lucas Complete Engine Treatment. It's a new multifunctional cleaner plus lubricant. It's designed for use in both engine oil and fuel systems. It cleans and lubricates the entire gas or diesel fuel system from the tank to injectors. It contains special Lucas additives that cause the fuel to burn thoroughly and help increase your miles per gallon. Expect longer engine life, longer oil life, cleaner exhaust, and less fuel consumption. Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment.
It works.
The Boca Raton Cougars, the Las Vegas Hookers, and the Arizona Pricks got your attention now, don't I? These aren't real sports teams, but they are some of the most creative and funny sports logo t-shirts from Awesome Sports Logos. Each team has a history, a meaning behind it, like the Lexington Studs or the Cape Cod Scrod. And these t-shirts, they are awesome, made with the highest quality 100% cotton available and are ridiculously soft. Grab your favorite city's t-shirt now at AwesomeSportsLogos.com. That's AwesomeSportsLogos.com and get awesome.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsport's biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit lucasoilracing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV. Grab it and hold on tight.
Hey, Freak Nation, it's time you clean up your tires and rims. So do it with Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine. It's an environmentally friendly treatment spray designed to give tires and trim a long-lasting, like-new shine. Use Slick Mist Tire Shine to remove dull, gray oxidation from bumpers, tires, plastic, rubber, and vinyl trim. It's long-lasting, UV-resistant, and helps prevent sidewall blowout. Log on to LucasOil.com for more info and pick up Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine at major auto parts stores today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, Redefined.
Yep, Freak Nation, 18 years of Speed Freaks. June 25th, 2000 is when we started, so why not celebrating tonight with some fantastic interviews over the last 18 years. Coming up in moments, Jesse James into Evel Knievel. And Dan Weldon lost his life in Las Vegas, Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the same year he won the Indy 500.
His second Indy 500, yeah.
Incredible. Dan Weldon, we caught up with him after he won his second Indy 500. And what did he do the next race? He went back up in the booth for Versus to call the Texas Motor Speedway race. Again, this was a part-time ride for him with Dan Weldon, and he wins the Indy 500. So he'll be here in the Freak Nation. Coming up now, it's George Thorogood, and then we'll go into a little bit of Mario Andretti. Mario Andretti's been coming in here for, again, 15 years, and I believe this is his first run to the Freak Nation. And I believe in this interview as well, I don't want to give it away, that's why I'm kind of vague on this. It's when Michael Andretti decided to go to the IRL, and Mario expressed some indifference about that.
Holy crap.
Statman, do you remember when George Thorogood came into the studio with his guitar?
Oh, yeah. We had pizza, and we were eating pizza on the air, I think. One of the things you hated about us eating on the air, but we were sitting around eating pizza and having a party with George Thorogood. That's one of those things where you can't tell that from when you woke up that morning.
He had funky guitar picks because he left one behind. And I'm like, what's this? Not knowing, because it doesn't look like a normal guitar pick.
Right.
And you go, take that. That's his guitar pick. And I'm like, okay. And I still have it. It's in my bathroom, believe it or not. I don't know why it's in my bathroom drawer, but it is.
Okay.
George Thorogood's guitar pick.
15 years later, we have a Thorogood pick in our house somewhere.
Yes, we do.
Nice. George Thorogood, there's a great story that he tells with the both of us at a Los Angeles Dodgers game. But let me just shut up right now. These are two great interviews. We'll segue from George Thorogood into Mario Andretti. And again, you'll look around thinking, did that just happen? George Thorogood and Mario Andretti, Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, don't play Justin Timberlake, but they'll be happy to kick his ass. Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, Redefined.
Would you please welcome, I've known him for about 5 or 6 years, and I'm going to want him to tell that story at Dodger Stadium
about that broad who sang so horribly, who sang the national anthem, oops, and you looked up at me.
I know who Kenny Sargent really is, folks. He is that guy.
Get up close to the mic, George.
He did this to me in Dodger Stadium. And,
ladies and gentlemen, George Thorogood.
Yeah, right. Everybody was like in physical pain as well as, you know, mental pain, struggling through this national anthem. And I turn around and I look at Kenny Sargent, and because this is visual, I was sitting there, and I was standing there with my father-in-law, and I turned around, and Kenny's standing there like this, and he looks at me, and he goes like this.
Giving the face of, meaning I don't,
like,
think so.
No, he was giving me a face like, be good. you know that guy, and we all had that guy in study hall, that while the teacher had both palms on the desk and was right in your face screaming at you, there was always that guy tapping you under the table with his foot, making you laugh at the study hall teacher's face, and the person would keep screaming, "You, very good, you laugh one more time." There was always that guy on the table, and that was Kenny Sargent.
Yes,
he is that guy.
I know.
And it would always be me getting in trouble, and the other guy getting all scot free. He proved it at Dodger Stadium that night.
Yeah, but that girl went on to be famous. Britney Spears is pretty good now.
I really don't recall who it was, but I remember you.
Dude, it was horrible.
I thought, this guy's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, probably every camera in the TV camera in the student stadium was aimed at you.
And he was tapping me under the chair like this, trying to get me to blow it.
That bastard that he is.
George Thorogood, your utmost greatest memory of you in a car is?
My greatest memory of being in a car is riding in the back seat of a limousine with my wife and my daughter. It's my greatest memory of being
awesome.
In a car.
With Marla and Rio,
that's right?
That's right. All right.
That's my greatest
that?
Memory.
That's pretty cool.
Great.
It's pretty bad when you got to bring in George Thorogood to clean up your image.
You're not kidding. But the thing that's remarkable
that's
about you.
That's got to be a drop. I know. That's got
to
be a
we're going to be We're going to be playing that drop for years to come.
The thing that's the most remarkable about you is that so many people listen to your music. You could have, I mean, you've got people in the Freak Nation that are George Thorogood fans, and I understand even the Pope rocks the Vatican with George Thorogood.
Where did Lonesome George come from?
There was a cat in our neighborhood who was about a year and a half younger than me, and he fancied himself as a kind of a playboy, which he was at the tender age of about 14 or 15. Always had girls around him, and I never had any, and he used to tease me. He used to tease me a lot, and he'd say, he'd only have three girlfriends, and he'd say, why don't you guys go hang out with George? I'd say, no, we don't want to hang out with that guy, you know. And he always said, Lonesome George. He took pity on me. He'd say, here comes Lonesome George. And that's how, and then it just kind of rolled from there.
Where is he
now? I don't know.
He's driving a bus now.
Actually, you know what he did? I saw the guy, not recently. I was doing a show at the Air Conditioned Philadelphia Spectrum, which was sold out. In Philadelphia, which is near where I'm from.
Yeah.
And I was playing there, and we had it sold out. He was a kid from Delaware, right? From the country. I'm literally a country boy, Jeff and I. And we're here plus, and this guy comes walking in the room, and he's now about at least 150 pounds overweight.
God, I love that.
And he's
that.
A security guy at the Spectrum. Well, I'm headlining it as a star.
You know what? You know what?
And I went to him, and he walked, I didn't recognize him. I walked up, I said, hey, Timmy. And I was thinking, well, that's your karma, pal. You know, I believe in that sort of thing.
Who's lonesome now, bitch?
I didn't take it that far. I just
you didn't have to. He's a security guard at the Spectrum.
I say, like Tommy Lasorda said, you win with pride, you lose with dignity.
This is Mario Andretti, the baddest pit bull to ever grab the steering wheel. Even meaner than Eminem, Vin Diesel, Korn, and Madonna. You're listening to the Speed Freaks, the only group that could carry my jockstrap.
He's been referred to as the greatest race car driver of all time because, Statman, this is a guy that will drive anything, and he'll freaking win.
He'll win a championship in anything.
That's right.
Not just driving, he'll win a championship in anything.
Well, we had him in here before, and I think he grew to like the Freak Nation, especially when we went down and saw him with his MagnaFlow appearance. Would you please welcome back to the Speed Freaks, Mario Andretti. What's up there, Mario?
Good evening, guys.
Hey there, man. Thanks for staying up late with the Freaks, brother.
Yeah, man, this is way past my bedtime.
Oh, no, hold on, Mario. This old party animal stuff, has this faded?
Well, I'm not getting any younger, you know. Just had another birthday.
When and how old?
You don't ask somebody how old they
are. No, come on!
No.
I just want to celebrate with you.
37.
37.
Don't listen to anybody else.
Happy 37th, Mario. One thing that struck me, I was out in
front of Gladys, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Can you hear me now, baby?
Can you hear me now?
Sounds like you crashed.
You set that up, didn't you, sweetheart?
Oh, now you sound better.
Hey, well, I just want to say that when I was in Phoenix the beginning of this weekend, Michael sure seems really relaxed and happy. Is Indy just going to be some sort of a major climax, but with a lot of excitement around it for him?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think Michael pretty much knows what he wants and the direction he wants to go. And the fact that he has made the decision to, you know, just concentrate on being the car owner, I think he's quite happy with that. And as you say, I think he wears it on his sleeve, and he is quite relaxed. And God bless him, I guess.
You've been pretty vocal in the past about maybe disappointment in Michael going to the dark side and racing in the IRL. And it sounds like you still, I don't say distance yourself because that is your son, but you're still not directly involved in a lot of what he's doing, are you?
Well, it's true. I mean, he made a choice, and the choice actually was not totally driven by him. It was driven by events and opportunity. And you know, he's a businessman, and you have to respect that, and I do. Feel that I should join that effort at the moment? No. It's mainly because, again, I still feel the same way. I still support on the open wheel side a series, as I said earlier, that distinguishes itself from, say, from Formula One and from NASCAR from that standpoint as far as where they specialize. And I hope that doesn't change because that's really what I support. You know, it's not the politics, it's not anything else. It's the product that I support. And I hope that the product doesn't change. If it changes, then I will change.
Like I said, George Thorogood, Lonesome George, into Mario Andretti. And Statman, Mario's been coming in here 15, 16 years. And the first time he rolled in the Freak Nation, I think all of us, including Crashers, you could tell from that interview, that we still were a bit dumbfounded that this guy, the greatest driver in the history of motorsports, wanted to come on this little old show called Speed Freaks.
He is the greatest driver of all time. I remember many years ago, back in the 70s, I was writing a motorsports column for a newspaper that went into 7-Elevens, of all things. And it was the year that Andretti won the world championship. And it was such a such an accomplishment for him and something that he wanted so bad that you can't help. This is before I met him personally. And you can't help but be happy for somebody who gets something that they wanted so desperately. And to have him in the show, to have him in our midst at events, it's been such an incredible thing through the years to meet people like that, to shake their hand and to know that they know you. And the one thing that I don't know if people caught in there, that Michael Andretti, when we started, was still racing. Now he's retired. Now he's got one of the strongest teams in the world racing in open wheel and in rallycross. He's a name synonymous, Andretti Autosport, synonymous with success in racing. After going into that interview and coming out of that interview, it just gives you pause. That's how long we've been on the air.
And Crasher, I can't get out of this without asking you. Again, you being the open wheel, I'm going to save it, what we used to say on the air.
Oh, biatch, I can lighten it up that way.
But you being, you're from Indianapolis. Your father was part of the medical team growing up.
Yep, Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
So to have a guy like Mario Andretti, I can understand how giddy you are.
Well, I'm not as giddy now, and I don't know if it's because we have fortunately spent so much time with Mario, and I've really grown to like him just as a person, not just as a mad talent. But, yeah, I think not knowing how to necessarily control my emotions way back when, what'd you say, 15 some odd years ago? Yeah, I was a total kid in a candy store, like one of the most important people is standing in front of me or on the phone, whatever. And yeah, just not knowing how to really handle that and not coming from a radio trained background. I was still owning my chops and trying to figure out this how this radio thing was supposed to work anyway. So that was a deadly combo. Sorry, Kenny.
Oh, man. Speaking of a deadly combo, imagine Jesse James and Evel Knievel hanging together. Ooh. Well, they're going to be hanging together next. Jesse James, who, of course, got his start with a fabricator, building bikes, putting bikes together, molding this, molding that. And then, of course, West Coast Choppers hit. And then, bam, Monster Garage, bam, Jesse James is a dead man, bam. Jesse James and Evel Knievel. The only time we had Evel Knievel on the show, you'll hear it. It's Evel Knievel and Jesse James next. Speed Freaks Pits, Lucas Oil Studios.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
Listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.
For the last 18 years, Speed Freaks on a Sunday night, man. Thank you guys for hanging out. June 25th, 2000 is when we started, and we're celebrating tonight a day early, man. From the Lucas Oil Studios, Continental Tires on board with us for damn near all of those 18 years, and many, many other partners who've come and gone, who've stuck around with us. Thank you guys for being a part of it. More importantly, Freak Nation, thank you for sticking with us. Before we get into Evel Knievel, I don't know if you know this stat, man. I found out just a couple of days ago that Travis Pastrana is going to relive, or he's going to recreate the Evel Knievel jump of almost 15 years ago over the Caesar Fountains.
What?
Yeah, and it's coming up in 2 weeks.
I believe it's a 2018 FTR 750 Indian motorcycle.
Travis is probably the only person in the world who would even think of attempting something like that. Wow. I read something where he was going to be driving at Pikes Peak or somewhere in a Porsche, but I didn't hear about this. Yeah. Wow.
It's going to be on the History Channel, I believe, the night of July 8th. So check it out, Freak Nation. Travis Pastrana, multiple-time gold medalist with the X Games, Supercross, Motocross, Nitro Circus.
Rallycross, you name it.
The original backflipper. And right. A double backflipper at the X Games. Oh, man. We should put him in this interview, too, with Jesse James and Evel Knievel.
We should, yes.
Freak Nation, Evel Knievel called into the show 15, 16 years ago. If you have kids in the car, turn it up. Evel Knievel into...
Are you sure?
Jesse James. Celebrate 18 years of Speed Freaks from Lucas Oil Studios.
There's a guy that described him perfectly. He was a high school dropout, an award-winning athlete, a petty thief, a motorcycle racer, a political activist, but damn it, he's one of the most unique heroes to earn a place in the collective psyche of this country. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the Freak Nation, Evel Knievel. Evel, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I am, and if I lose you, my phone might drop a call. You call me back.
You right. Bet, partner. Evel, today is my mother's birthday, and she...
Happy birthday, mother.
There you go. She was the one. I owe this entire Speed Freaks motorsports empire to my mom and my dad. My dad was the guy that took me out to see the Daredevil shows and the motocross and the drags and so forth. But it was mom that took me to see you at the Dallas Convention Center back in, I believe, in 1971 or 72.
In Dallas?
Dallas Convention Center.
Yeah, I jumped there. The floor, I remember the floor. It was slick as snot. Come in.
Tell me I wasn't drunk as a 10-year-old. You went by on us at the time. It was like a three-wheeler with a jet rocket on it. At the time, that was going to be the Snake River motorcycle. Is that true?
Well, that's about all I had to work with at the time until I found a real engineer, this Bob Truax. He built me a rocket that would try and get across there. No wings on it, just a three-wheel rocket that I'd take off on. But that was a jet bike. Yeah, I rode it in that Dallas Coliseum. I remember that.
What was the attraction to Evel with all the moms?
I never have figured that out. I know one thing. Aphrodisiac, there's no aphrodisiac in the world like danger to women. That's just all there is to it.
Mr. Knievel, can I call you Evel? This is Lugnus.
Yeah, I'll call me anything you want.
I'm never nervous. I'm a little bit nervous right now. Really, I'm not nervous, but I had to ask anyway because I want to be polite. Because you are, I heard Michael Jordan is like the Evel Knievel of the NBA. To hell with that other stuff.
Michael Jordan's got the spirit. You know, there are people in life that have the spirit. I hadn't had the spirit since about 1980 because I've been kind of shell-shocked for all them trucks and buses I hit on that motorcycle.
Listen, buddy, these new guys that are out there, they would never have even thought about doing any of that crap if it weren't for you. Do you think they're giving you enough of the respect as, like, the godfather of the greatest freaking, you know, thrill show on the planet?
Well, I think that a younger person wanting to do what they saw somebody do is the greatest compliment in the world. They could pay the older person, I consider it quite a compliment. I think my son Robbie is probably one of the best motorcycle performer in the world. I remember a kid named Jim Pomeroy that raced motocross
big time.
He was the first American that ever won a Grand Prix in Europe. Yeah, well, guess who taught him how to ride a motorcycle? I did.
Yeah. Oh,
there we go.
John, you're on with Evel Knievel and the Speed Freaks. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mr. Knievel, remember me?
Hello there. John who?
John Hood in the bottom of the canyon.
Hey, John boy, how are you?
1975.
Wow.
Yeah, 1974, John.
Oh, I missed it by a year, but I'm old.
Well, you never look too sharp, John. How the hell are you doing?
I'm retired, living in California where you left me.
One of you two have to explain
what's going on here.
Who picked who up off of... John says it was a canyon, and you said it was a floor in London.
Well, John worked for me for quite some time. He's a very nice guy. We became friends. I met him in New Jersey, and he's a very nice guy. He helped drive my equipment, and we had some great times together. And he came out to the canyon jump. But, there was so much commotion going out there with all those people, and that rocket shot across that thing went in the bottom We all went back to the motel and had a press conference, everything, left poor John down there in the bottom of the can.
Hey, Evil, I've got a book in my hands written by Ace Collins.
Yes.
Well, he was talking about in here about growing up in Butte. It was a tough town to grow up in. There were pimps and whores and gamblers, and you grew up kind of hanging around those guys. Is that true?
I worked there for when I was 17, 18, a mile underneath the ground, the Kelly Shaft. I was a copper and gold and silver miner.
You a man whore.
What about all these pimps and whores and gamblers he was talking about?
They were all over the place there. There were 500 whores working on one square block, and my grandpa had a tire shop right in the middle of all of them.
But they had pimps and whores and wasn't in a big city like Detroit or New York?
125,000. We had a bigger Chinatown than Boston and San Francisco put together. Butte, Montana, at one time, was the greatest western town on the face of the earth.
This city is fat.
What happened?
Miners.
Oh, yeah.
Mine companies, they rape and strip and plunder land, they leave it lay. They take all the richness from it, just leave it.
And I understand that you, growing up as a kid, you actually grew up with your grandparents. Is that true?
Yeah, my mother and dad were divorced. Kind of disappeared on me, but my grandma and grandpa raised me ever since I was about a year old. They were my mother and dad. They were my mammy and pappy. I know I drove them crazy, but...
Yeah, jumping over crap would drive them crazy. Were you like two when you first started jumping over things, or what?
No, I rode a little tricycle away from the house when I was about five. It scared them to death. They didn't find me for about 3 hours.
Awesome. Man, he's
okay,
already...
Okay, baby,
hey,
we're done.
How did you like the portrayal of you with George Hamilton in the movie?
I think he did a great job. I don't really care too much for George. I tried my best to help. He had an attitude of being kind of a reputation. But I did what I could for George. Sam Elliott did a great picture, and they're making a new one right now, Universal. It's a $70 million picture. It's about my canyon jump. And there's a great actor going to play. He's a hell of a man. I know him personally. His name is Matthew McConaughey.
Yes.
Oh, ooh, and he's hot.
There's news right there.
Yeah.
He's going to play my part, and they're going to start producing that picture immediately.
In the movie, Evil, George Hamilton rode up into the sorority and knocked down the door with...
No, he didn't do that. I did it.
Okay. Oh. You actually did that? You rode in the sorority house and knocked down that door, and the chick was in the tub?
That was my wife, Linda. I took her out of that. I was married to her for 38 years. She's the most wonderful gal in the world. She's the mother of my children.
That is Evil Knievel here in the Speed Freaks Pits. Evil, before we let you go, what I'd like for you to do is we've got the tapes rolling. I'd like you to, what we do, leave us an Evil Knievel drop.
Okay. Hi there. This is the number one badass in America, Evil Knievel. You are listening to the Bastard Children and the show, the Speed Freaks.
That's right. They can kiss our ass, right, Evil?
Exactly right.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
The Extreme Contact Sport is Continental Tire's newest ultra-high performance tire. Tested to the limits by championship-winning race car drivers, the Extreme Contact Sport satisfies the most demanding driver. This dynamic street tire was built for car enthusiasts and engineered for extreme grip in dry and wet conditions. Whether it's a Sunday drive on the open road or you need to get to and from work, this tire is for what you do. For more information, visit ContinentalTire.com. That's ContinentalTire.com. Continental Tire, proud partner with the Freaks.
Lucas Complete Engine Treatment. It's a new multifunctional cleaner plus lubricant. It's designed for use in both engine oil and fuel systems. It cleans and lubricates the entire gas or diesel fuel system from the tank to injectors. It contains special Lucas additives that cause the fuel to burn thoroughly and help increase your miles per gallon. Expect longer engine life, longer oil life, cleaner exhaust, and less fuel consumption. Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment. It works.
The Boca Raton Cougars, the Las Vegas Hookers, and the Arizona Pricks got your attention now, don't I? These aren't real sports teams, but they are some of the most creative and funny sports logo t-shirts from Awesome Sports Logos. Each team has a history, a meaning behind it, like the Lexington Studs or the Cape Cod Scrod. And these t-shirts, they are awesome, made with the highest quality 100% cotton available, and are ridiculously soft. Grab your favorite city's t-shirt now at AwesomeSportsLogos.com. That's AwesomeSportsLogos.com. And get awesome.
Introducing Lucas Oil Racing TV, your exclusive unlimited 24/7 motorsports app. Now you can watch all your favorite motorsports anytime, anywhere. Get the finest in grassroots racing, national events, live coverage, behind-the-scenes action, and interviews you won't see anywhere else. There's also automotive how-to shows and some of motorsport's biggest names like Dave Despain, hosting the legends and current superstars of racing. For more information, visit LucasOilRacing.tv. Lucas Oil Racing TV.
Grab it and hold on tight.
Hey, Freak Nation, it's time you clean up your tires and rims. So do it with Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine. It's an environmentally friendly treatment spray designed to give tires and trim a long-lasting, like-new shine. Use Slick Mist Tire Shine to remove dull, gray oxidation from bumpers, tires, plastic, rubber, and vinyl trim. It's long-lasting, UV-resistant, and helps prevent sidewall blowout. Log on to LucasOil.com for more info and pick up Lucas Slick Mist Tire and Trim Shine at major auto parts stores today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, Redefined.
We're going to wrap up our 18-year celebration, again, June 25th. June 25th, 2000 is when we started one station in Los Angeles and then grew to dozens of stations and on many affiliates at this point, including Sirius XM, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, many online groups that we've been a part of. You can't miss the Freaks.
No.
Trust me.
We're everywhere.
Yeah. Dan Weldon, who was a pretty cocky dude when he moved into IndyCar.
Loved his shoes.
Yeah. Loved his fashion, period. When he first came overseas and came into Indy Lights, he had a bit of a attitude, but a fun attitude with him. But we talked earlier in the show about how John Force has changed over the 18 years that we've been doing Speed Freaks. Dan Weldon, because I saw him when he first came in as an Indy Lights driver, he also changed through the years, whether it was Indy Lights or driving for Ganassi or driving for Andretti. Lots of things. And then the drivers that he involved himself with, Brian Herta, Dario Franchitti, Tony Kanaan, Michael himself, he mellowed quite a bit and his humor changed a little bit as well. And he was able to not only take the jokes that were being dished out at him, but he was able to dish them right back.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch.
Indy 500, his second Indy 500 win. It was a part-time ride. We know what happened in that race. J.R. Hildebrand hits the wall on the last lap in turn 4, and Dan Weldon gets the win.
Yes, the last turn of the last lap. Yep. Hildebrand had it in the bag for the National Guard, American driver, American sponsor. Oops, in the marbles. Took a chance that just obviously didn't pay off, and Dan Weldon drove around and went on to the win, and was just, everybody was shocked. Just driving for a company named William Rast. It just, yeah, unbelievable.
We caught up. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. Hildebrand's momentum was so great that he rode the wall all the way to second place.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hit and did not lose a tremendous amount of speed. That's just crazy.
Here's your Indy 500. He shows up at Texas Motor Speedway, and he's in the booth doing color commentary for the IndyCar race. And that's where we caught up with him. It was that year, Crasher, in Las Vegas, where we lost Dan Weldon.
It was a great promotion in theory that the Las Vegas season finale for IndyCar in 2011 was going to be a huge amount of pomp and circumstance. These guys are going to show some mad speeds on this high-banked oval. And they had a bunch of pre-parties leading up to what this race was going to be. I mean, they closed down the Las Vegas Strip, which rarely ever happens. And they did a parade of Indy cars down the Strip a couple of nights prior. They had all these gambling parties and just it was a really fun weekend. But yes, it was a $1 million prize was on the line for what driver could start at the back of the pack and go on to win. So that was the big deal. Who do we want to be one of these one-off drivers to start in the back and go on to win? Travis Pastrana was given an invitation. Tanner Faust was given an invitation. Several NASCAR drivers were given an invitation. Scott Speed, you name it. Lots of big-time names that you know from other forms of motorsport. And some of them tested Indy cars. I believe Pastrana and Faust were two of them. But they decided just to not do it for whatever reason. Everybody had their own reasons. And suddenly it's like, hello, why not Dan Weldon? He's not a full-time driver. He can do this. And hello, it makes sense for this promotion because you're talking about your Indy 500 winner. Let's watch the Indy 500 winner who never had a full-time ride this season come from the back and go to the front and win $1 million. Everything was lining up to be awesome. Well, what was it, 6 or 8 laps into that race, the awesomeness came to an abrupt halt. Dan was flying. There's no doubt about that. He was passing cars like crazy in just the few laps that he had, but that track, Las Vegas Motor Speedway, is not built for IndyCars, and sadly, we saw exactly why.
That's the last time IndyCar has been there. Gosh, it's tough to not get emotional. Dan Weldon, only Dan Weldon could do it like Dan Weldon with the Freaks. Your Indy 500 winner 2 times. Second time he won it, he joined us, Speed Freaks Pits and the Lucas Oil Studios.
The Freaks.
Your 2011 Indy 500 champion, Dan Weldon, talking about, well, he's out of a gig, at least out of a ride.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, I can't argue with you, but, you know, it's one of those things. It's a situation that I think, actually, the way you presented it probably looked more negative than the way I really feel. But, no, I had a great Indianapolis 500 with Brian Herder and everybody at Brian Herder Autosport and the team, him and Steve Newey put together, you know. But for us, we want to continue in that same manner that we arrived with and competed throughout the month with during May, and that's competitive. You know, I was blessed to have some offers for this particular race. No disrespect intended to the two teams that offered me a situation, but I just didn't feel it was the right fit for me. And like I say, the momentum that I created at Indy is, you know, is important to continue. And I had a tough couple of years, the last couple of years, and so this feeling that I've got, and the fact that I feel so bubbly and back to my normal self, you know, I don't want to let go of, in all seriousness. I want to keep that, and you know, that's about making sure that I make the right decisions moving forward. And you know, yes, I would love to be racing, but I don't want to be racing just to be making up the numbers. I want to be in a competitive environment that gives me the chance to win, just like Indianapolis.
Indy 500 winner Dan Weldon joins us. I guess I was picking up on what David Letterman, he kept calling you a part-time driver. He's like, David, you're kicking me in the balls with that, man. Relax. Speaking of David Letterman, it was a whirlwind for you. All the things you had to do, all these national morning shows, David Letterman, what's been the best so far the weeks following after Indy 500?
Well, I got to tell you, I did something in my life that I never thought I would be able to do. And I was more nervous doing this than any time ever in my racing career, period. So it was quite interesting. I was, you know, at the CMA Music Festival. On the first evening, I presented at the Country Music Television Awards with Gary Busey and John Rich. And that was an experience in itself. I mean, I've raced with some what I would consider unpredictable drivers. This guy was, you know, I got to say, he was fantastic to me. But the person that was controlling the teleprompter at one point, I think, like, feared for his life. But you know, he was a great guy. But it was very interesting before during rehearsals. I said to Scott Buschetta from Big Machine Records, who I was there with, I said, you know, what can I expect when I do this? Scott came back with a very simple answer. He goes, John Rich will be a true professional. He said, Gary Busey, you're on your own, buddy, because I don't know. But so that was great. And you know, presenting an award was obviously kind of, for me, it's stepping out of the box. It's something that, you know, I'm not used to doing. But I thought that was okay. I was prepared and you know, felt like I did a good job. Towards the end of the 2-day, I'm going to say frenzy, I did not stop. And, you know, it was fantastic. And I think Scott Buschetta from Big Machine and Mike Curb from Curb Records, they've really helped, you know, get me out into the mainstream media. We're doing a lot of interviews with, you know, People Magazine, Us Magazine, you know, all the country music stations. I don't know. I think it was very positive.
Dan Weldon, Indy 500 winner. Biggest question I've got for you, Danny. Are you still bringing sexy back?
I mean, look at me today. I'm going to be on Versus. I think I'm bringing style, thanks to William Rast. I mean, I've got that good look. I mean, I'm disappointed that you would ask such a ridiculous question. William Rouse sunglasses. I mean, we got it going on, baby. You know what's going to happen is through this stuff with Versus TV, and they've been absolutely great. You know, I call Bob Jenkins and Jan Beekers my teammates. They're my current teammates, and I think to them, I'm a little bit like Gary Busey. They just never know what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. So that makes them extremely nervous. But by the same token, they know I'm bringing sexy back. And you could see me. You never know. Like modeling underwear on a big billboard in L.A. soon. That would be harder.
That'd be sweet.
Sunset Boulevard. Dan Weldon on Sunset Boulevard, where the Marlboro Man used to be. Dude, that's a huge spot. But seriously, we need a video screen with you. I mean, you know, maybe a little picture-in-picture of you and Bob Jenkins and Jan Beekes, just so we can see your sexy coming back on Versus.
Oh, you'll see it. Tune in to the race or the twin 275s tonight, and you'll see it. But it's something that, you know, I'm looking forward to. Absolutely, I'd love to be in the race car. There's no doubt about that. And watching practice yesterday, I mean, that just makes it, you know, for me, even harder. But, you know, we'll be back. There's no doubt about that. But in the meantime, this is a lot of fun.
Just one time, just go Gary Busey on their ass. I want to see Jenkins dump something in his man diapers and Beekus to go back to his native language just for you to go Busey on them one time during the broadcast, Weldon.
Well, hey, that's why you'll have to tune in. You just never know. I'm like, I'm like the wild one of the group. Like I said, they just have that nervous look every time they look at me like, what's Weldon going to do next? What's he going to say next? And the poor guy on the beeper button to cover up anything is, you know, he's shaking. I can see him sweating and shaking every time I'm on the mic.
His name, Freak Nation, Dan Weldon, your 2011 Indy 500 winner and 2005 Indy 500 winner. Dan, as always, best of luck to you. Always good to get you in the Freak Nation. And break a leg?
I don't know. I just say rock on, Freak Nation, and watch me on Versus.
Miss him. Dan Weldon from Texas Motor Speedway. The second race after he won the Indy 500.
2011.
He was doing color commentating for Versus Network, which is now NBC. Yeah, your Indy 500 winner. Then, of course, that October Sunday afternoon.
16th.
Lost his life at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I believe, Statman, you were in Los Angeles. I think you, was Chris Jacobs with us then?
No.
When that went down? Okay. Statman was in Los Angeles. Crasher and I were in Las Vegas doing the show. And just prior to us going on the air to talk about Dan Weldon.
We're driving to the Las Vegas studio.
Yeah. We got word that Rick Huseman, off-road champion, lost his life traveling back from Las Vegas to Southern California in a small plane. So we had to deal with
plane, that's right.
We had to deal with that Sunday night.
Not saying that one is easier than the other by any stretch, but at this point, we had already had 5 or 6 hours to digest the Dan Weldon news. And maybe, we still cried on air, but maybe we would have been able to get through the show a little bit easier than what reality was. Because literally an hour before going on air, and here my chill bumps go again, we get the news about Rick Huseman, and it's just like, no, this is not happening. And so to talk about two deaths in the span of one Sunday night show, I don't think there's been anything harder. The Dale Earnhardt Sr. death show was difficult, but this one, I don't think there's been anything harder.
Statman, do you remember that day?
I remember the day, but I also remember you talk about hard. We weren't even supposed to be on the air when the word came out about Tony Stewart and the accident in upstate New York where a young man was killed. And we had to go on the air that night. We decided to go on the air and do that. It was just Crash and I. It was, wow, that was difficult. We've had some of those shows in the 18 years, and they've all been difficult, all hard, all emotional, and all left us with a stain that we won't forget.
Yeah, Darrell Russell, you brought him up earlier in the show. He's a Top Fuel driver that we lost, sadly, early on in our tenure of doing this show. And we lost him on a Sunday night as we were on air. They were racing a nighttime race in St. Louis, and we were on air doing the show. And I remember a phone call first coming in. I didn't answer it. And then I see an email and I'm like, oh, gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, you go back through the names of drivers, riders that we've lost. I think of the gentleman, I can't think of his name right now, that Statman, we're hanging out underneath some, what, Mustang single engine fighters.
Oh, yeah.
In Reno for the Reno Air Races.
Oh, it's not Hendrickson. Oh, Jack Roush's buddy, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's we lost I can't think of his name right now, but he was an all-time dude, man. Lost his life in an accident in one of his air races. And that's an all, you know what? That's up there for me with Spain. An all-time memorable moment sitting underneath those pylons with those, are they P-52s?
Yeah, they were coming up Lemon Valley at 500 miles an hour, completely cranked over on the side. About 50 feet above us, you could see the gauges in the plane when the pilots were going by. And there's very few times when you, as an adult, you get giggly like a little kid. But that was one of those times for me.
The Reno Air Races.
How about
Holy
that?
Holy cow.
18 years, Freak Nation. And I want to say for many folks out there, thank you guys for being a part of this. 18 freaking years. Triple F, thank you for being a part of it. You guys up there in San Francisco, thank you very much. More importantly, our sponsors, our affiliates who've been on board for so long, Dallas, Phoenix, two longest affiliates.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.
Real quick, Jack Roush's friend, the pilot who died in one of the Reno air races, Jimmy Leeward.
There it is. I can see him. There's a shot of him on our Facebook page.
Yep, he's a badass.
I couldn't say it any better than two words. Thank you, Statman. Thank you, Crash, for making this. There will never be another 18 years like this unless we go 18 more.
Wow. There you go. That's it exactly.
Okay.
Oh, man. And we've probably been doing this. And this is where it came from, Freak Nation. I was interviewing Stevie Guitar Miller in Dallas in the mid-80s. And he ended an interview with me one time. He gave me what was called a drop. This is Steve Miller, and you're listening to Q102. Da, 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 da. And he ended it with this. He said, shoot the juice to the moose and cut it loose. This is from Stevie Guitar Miller, well over 18 years ago from the 80s, that Statman has been ending our show with for 18 years.
And we were even stopped at this year's Indy 500 by a crew chief, Sebastian Bourdais' crew chief, saying, hey, do you guys still say shoot the juice to the moose? Where's Statman? And I just thought that was pretty cool.
Well, for 18 years, Statman, you want to do it? Shoot the juice to the moose and Statman.
Cut it loose.
Dip.
Speed Freaks, Motorsports Radio, redefined.
We'll be right back.
listening to Speed Freaks Motorsports Radio Redefined.